Welcome back to Just One Question, and I am so thrilled because I lost track of where the heck that my next guest was, Neen James, for way too long, and we were just trying to figure out how long it was, and we're going to pretend we don't remember now because it's been too long, and that's the point. Neen James is an executive strategist. She is the author of Attention Pays, and she's the trusted advisor to luxury brands. So stay her friend because she can get you a heck of a discount on champagne. Maybe. I'm not promising anything. Anyway, Neen, welcome. It is so good to see you. How the heck are you doing?
Oh, it's fabulous to see you. And I'm fabulous. Life is very full right now. So I feel like everything has come back on steroids. So yeah, I'm in a really great place, Nick.
Oh, that's great. I want to hear more about that because everybody seems to be in a slightly different place. Some people are still sort of deep in COVID territory and still not fully back, and other people, and including speakers, are kind of half back, and audiences are half full, and so on and so forth. But never mind all that. What are you excited about these days?
You know, I think what I'm most excited about is we recently did a very deep research study with the brilliant team at Audience Audit and Susan Baer, who you know, spearheads a phenomenal team there. The premise of my research, Nick, was I think luxury is a mindset. And because I serve so many luxury brands and the executive teams, I wanted to see if there was any truth to that. What was fascinating about the research was there's not one luxury mindset, there's four.
Ooh, do tell.
Yeah. So what was exciting about that, Nick, was when I think about luxury brands and how they're really trying to get the attention of their potential clients and then also service their existing clientele, I thought, how can I add value to them? And that was part of the reason for the research. Mm-hmm. So we discovered there's four. Do you want to know what they are?
I sure do. Please tell.
Okay. So the first of, so they were evenly split, which was fascinating. And we focused on women primarily initially because, as you know, women control $10 trillion worth of like nearly 33% of the US households. And I think it's projected to be something like $30 trillion in the next 3 to 5 years. So the first research very much focused on that particular consumer. They'd all purchased luxury products. They were in leadership roles. But they were fairly evenly split across the four segments, which fascinated me. But the first segment we called reluctant and removed. And the reason why is because to them, luxury is hard. They don't think luxury brands understand them. They feel guilty about making a luxury purchase. They still do buy luxury, but they don't want to tell anyone about it because they don't want people to judge them for it. And so they get a little overwhelmed. So that is not necessarily what all my clients are going after, but it's really important to understand the language they speak because I think there are luxury languages for each of these four types. So that's the first one. They're called reluctant and removed. The second one, which definitely appealed to me, were the luxury lovers. And the luxury lovers, they're the people who are like, I'm worth it. Luxury is great. They make luxury in every day. They think that luxury gives them more confidence. Not only do they love luxury, they tell all their friends about it. They post about it. These are the people that my clients are trying to attract because they then become advocates for the brands and services that are being offered. And then the third group was really fascinating. We call them the pro prioritizer. This is the person who says, luxury gives me power. They believe they have confidence to make the decisions around luxury. They're quite focused on their career. They especially use luxury to reward themselves in their career. But what's interesting for brands to be aware of when they're talking to this particular person is this audience wants to understand how your brand is environmentally or socially responsible. So this was one audience where that was very important in all the language to them. And then the fourth group we called the content and competent. These are the people who say, I've got this. I'm confident about making luxury decisions. Luxury is something that I enjoy, but it's not the highest priority for them. So for people who are listening, if you are maybe selling to the affluent or you have a service business that wants to attract more of that kind of client, you want to think about how do you speak the luxury language of each of these particular groups. And so that's what we have been sharing with some of our clients. And so we've created this luxury dictionary of how to appeal to them and thinking about what do brands really need to pay attention to in their messaging, their marketing, the mode of how they talk with them. So As you can tell, I'm very excited about this research.
And does it suggest to you that you go after one group first and another group second, or is this just you do different kinds of advertising for your whole and marketing for your whole marketing package kind of?
Yeah, I think, Nick, think of yourself as like the CEO of a luxury service business. Mm-hmm. You would want to think about the fact that you have all four types. Right. So what you've got to think about then is as you're upskilling your sales team, your executive team, building the strategic plan, you really want to think about how you're allocating resources to speak the language of the people you already have, mm-hmm. but also how do you attract the ones you want? And so I think that's where the resource allocation has to be focused because, yes, obviously things like the primary way many of them got their information around brands was interesting too. I thought it would be referrals, Nick. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'll refer a great brand or advocate for a brand. It wasn't. It was actually websites was the primary place, which I thought, wow. I know, I was shocked by this research because I thought surely it's social media. Social media was second. Instagram was first of the socials, which is also quite interesting.
Yeah.
It's visual mode, so I get all of that. Mm-hmm. But I think what people have to think about, Nick, as they're making decisions to service this client if they have them or attract them if they don't, they have to think about how do they adjust their language? Because you know the power of words. This is your business, right? Mm-hmm. We speak the words that are comfortable to us. So if I'm a luxury lover, of course that's going to appeal to me. But I have clients who are very much the reluctant and removed. Doesn't mean they won't buy luxury. Just means you have to speak a different luxury language to them. So it's that power of words again, Nick. It's really thinking about how do you customize your communications for the people you want to attract or retain.
Excellent. And I have to say, I expected a lot and you delivered. So Neen James, thank you so much for appearing on Just One Question and giving me that insight into luxury. Not that I myself, of course, would indulge, but if I were, maybe for the holidays, this is valuable information to have. Thank you so much for being on Just One Question.
Absolute privilege.